Governor Victor Attia at his office in downtown Portland, Oregon. The interview for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen. The date is July 15th, 1993, and this is tape 46, side one. We were talking about your tax plan, the 5% sales tax, in the 1985 legislative session, and you were just about to discuss on how it breaks down as to who pays the taxes.
Well, yeah, when you really try to put together a tax plan, it's pretty simple. And it always sounds very complicated, but it's basically very simple. In the large version, where you get most of the money, would be with a income tax, a sales tax, property tax. This is where large chunks come from. Fool around with some other things, but they're minimal. And so then you say, okay, we are going to pay it. We're going to pay a sales tax, we're going to pay an income tax, we're going to pay a property, we're going to pay it. And there's no escaping, no matter what anybody tells you, that we're going to pay it. And when I say we, I'm talking about basically, I would say middle income, because there's more of us there. You can't get anything out of those that are on welfare. And you can take all the money, what you call wealthy, and it wouldn't be a dent in what our requirements are. So it's a matter of numbers. That's where we are, most of us. Incidentally, I heard one time a kind of a definition that there's a group of people that have an uncomfortable amount of income. They have too much to enjoy the benefits of the poor, but not enough to enjoy the benefits of the rich. Which is where
middle class,
where we are. All right. So then, the whole point of putting a plan together, there's no such a thing. There's two things that are not possible. One is you can't have a change to retain the status quo. Sounds like a victory, but it's a fact. You can't have a change to retain the status quo. And the whole matter of really trying to determine how close we could come to balancing out. You and I are different, but we take the two of us together and somehow we balance out. And so when we start dealing with the sales tax, we had the element of reducing property taxes, reducing income taxes, and inserting in there a 5% sales tax. The whole idea was to, I don't want to use the word neutral because it isn't, but basically we're going to come out pretty even. It may be a little more for some, a little less for others, depends on whether how much property you own, how much you buy, how much you make, you know, that's going to vary. But and so when we put this plan together, and I never ever supported a sales tax, I said, this is the best tax plan I've ever seen. And so I came forth and supported the sales tax for the very first time since 1959. And incidentally, you'd be interested, people don't really care why I didn't support a sales tax. It's just as long as I didn't support it. But my reasons were different than anybody I'd ever heard. Because I said to myself, when you pay an income tax, you know how much you pay. And you really don't like it, but you know exactly how much you paid in taxes. On a sales tax, you don't really know that. It is a very, very unusual, rare person that will sit down and every time they spend a penny in a sales tax and put it down in the book, so they'll know exactly. So what you have really is people paying taxes and they don't really know how much they spent. But they get very angry about property taxes, they get very angry about income tax, and they know exactly how much they spent. And in that process of being angry, they keep pressure on the legislative body not to spend. So that was the reason that I said, I don't want an anonymous tax. I want it to where it hurts. And if it hurts, then the people are going to keep pushing on their elected officials not to spend.
Right.
Now that was my reason for not supporting a sales tax.
But that changed.
Well, it changed in the sense that I knew we had to relieve property taxes. Incidentally, this plan also contained an element of controlling the growth of property taxes. We had to lower that. I wanted to lower the income tax, at least the rate, so that we wouldn't be up there known as being the highest tax rate or among the highest tax rate in the nation. rate doesn't mean that much, because you can have a high rate, a whole lot of exemptions, and tax very low. And I think I mentioned earlier, we only tax half the income in Oregon, because all the rest of it are deductions and exemptions. Mm-hmm. So, but nonetheless, this is all external. And that I wanted to lower that. That was my economic development goal. And then we would insert the money to give stability to schools for education. So anyway, put the whole thing together, and that's the way I looked at it. But if somebody says it's a sales tax, well, yeah, it was a sales tax, but it also was a reduction in income, property tax and income tax. Well, that never got into the conversation. And also, I found it very, very interesting. Continually say it's in the Constitution. Now I knew what that meant. You know, a whole lot of people didn't know. They said, "Yeah, you guys can change it. Yeah, you can." No, we can't change it. You know, it's in the Constitution. So I always would. And after a while, when the realization came to me, I would explain in the what it means in the Constitution. Then I would say it's in the Constitution. You learn as you go, even after 20 some odd years in politics. Okay, so that's the way I always looked at it, any plan, any tax plan. And I had this sense, as I mentioned earlier, of having studied the annual report, Department of Revenue, about who was, how the numbers were where, and how they fit. And I felt very comfortable about this. I felt very comfortable that this was even-handedly treating Oregonians, at the same time addressing some very serious problems.
The plan would also result in the state picking up a larger tab of the school support too, wouldn't it?
That's right.
Go from 30% to 80%, I believe.
Yeah, but that was a result of function of that sales tax and the money.
I see. It would be reduced then in another area than in terms of the general budget from the income tax?
Yeah,
it would reduce.
Right, exactly. You see, the money was then basically dedicated to education.
Right.
And so that was the function. That's how the percentage went up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, the reaction to the plan initially was quite favorable, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's usually the case.
It is?
You go out the street and you see the polls, would you consider a sales tax? Well, yeah, that usually comes out something like 49-51 or 50-50 or something like that. Hmm. But when it comes time to mark in the ballot, Oregonians, it's not in them. A sales tax, no. And they just won't listen any further.
But it was surprising that some of the people that did support you are people that, at least according to the news reports, I wouldn't have considered normally to have supported you. Both Kits and Katz supported you, and Larry Campbell opposed you.
Yeah.
I mean, he was your supporter otherwise, and the AFL-CIO considered reversing its opposition and supporting the sales tax. Firefighters, teachers, public employees supported it. It was quite interesting the general support that you had.
That just shows you though what I mentioned earlier. There's this genetic thing that taxes click and mine turns off. And I told you earlier, someone says regressive. That's all they have to say, one word. Now if I were to try to prove it isn't regressive, it's going to take me about 4 or 5 minutes. Nobody's going to listen to that. Here comes the taxes, they just won't listen. That's the problem, you know, we have in trying to modify. And incidentally, it would be good instructional anyway in the tape to know that the legislature can pass a tax bill. They can't pass it. There's no impediment to passing a tax bill. But you always see it referred. Mm-hmm. And the only reason you do that, it's going to be referred, so why put the people through all that trouble? Somebody's going to refer anybody's tax bill.
Right.
So, you know, so they refer, just naturally refer.
Is that also a way of ducking a controversial issue?
Well, it could be for some, but not necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of saying, we know they're going to do it. You know, why put them through that trouble? It's just mm-hmm. the way to do it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it happened.
Well, later on, then, the AFL-CIO voted to oppose the tax later on in 1985, in August.
Go on. Yeah. I did want to mention, I said there were two things about any tax plan. The other one was that there's never been nor ever will be a perfect tax plan.
Mm-hmm.
Or anybody else's. There's just isn't such an animal. It just doesn't exist. And so somebody can always pick. Yeah, but. Okay, now.
But also the Education Association, OEA, came out with its own 5% plan. And one of the major differences between the plans is that their plan would dedicate 80% of the revenue to offset local school property taxes and 20% for income tax. They felt a concession to the state's business community. Were you able to work with them? And if not, why? Why did they want to come out with their own plan? And why didn't, or did you consider some kind of a income tax relief as a part of the plan?
As I reflect back over all the years and where we are today, Kalamazoo, I have to credit the Oregon Education Association and John Danielson for putting this in the soup where we are. Now that may seem pretty hard, but when I think back about all the attempts that we made to try to treat the people fairly in Oregon, and you now speak of OEA wanting to do their own thing, that the thing they never wanted, I believe, is schools with a tax base. And a limit on the growth.
Why wouldn't they want schools with a tax base?
If they had a school district without a tax base, then the cry would be, you have to vote for this or our schools will close. When you give a school a tax base, and it's been in the Constitution for years, they're allowed a 6% growth without going to a vote, then you can no longer make that claim. If you go to a 7% increase or an 8% increase, which means you have to go to a vote, you can't really make the claim that the schools are going to close. Because they have plenty of money. They may not do as well as they would without that budget, but the fact is they won't close. On the other side, there are school districts without a tax base, and then there are some with really what amounts to no tax base. And we described Beaverton some time ago. Those schools have to close. If they don't get a budget passed, they're going to have to close. Beaverton might stay open for a couple of months, then they would close. Some school districts in Oregon have no tax base, they'd close right away. And so I'm a voter, so I'll vote no once, I'll vote no twice, but I know in my heart that one of these days I'm going to have to vote yes, because my school's going to close. Well, that's the threat the OAUs won't let it have. So that's why they don't want schools with the tax base. Then they don't want to control the growth. One of the arguments that I remember having, you know, as to when I'm trying to map out my plan, and there are those in the legislature and outside who want no growth, which I think is irresponsible. They might go up to 2 or 3% growth. They don't want 6%. I think mine was 5% growth. I don't recall what it was. It was something less than 6.
I had it down here that it was 6%, but...
Well, it might have been on that one. There was another place. It's hard to merge these plans in my mind.
Sure.
But that was always an argument. And if you came down on the side of 5 or 6%, you lost a lot of people because they didn't want it that high. If it came down with 4 or 5%, you lost a lot of people because they wanted higher.
Right.
These are some of the dynamics at work. But because OEA and John Daniels constantly fought us on controlling the growth of property taxes and not being in a position of trying to genuinely establish tax bases, particularly controlling the growth of property taxes, people you know, taxes went way up and people got mad and they finally voted in a tax limitation. And that's why I'm saying to you, on this date for history, as I reflect back on all those years, mm-hmm. I would directly lay that at the feet of John Danielson and the OAA.
Mm-hmm. What about the issue of income tax relief? They had supported a 20% income tax relief. You think your plan would have been more?
They didn't really care about income tax relief. That was, you know, give us a big chunk and we'll give you a little bit.
But would it have made a plan more palatable to have income tax relief?
Oh, yeah, we did it ours.
Oh, you did? Uh-huh. What was your plan?
That's the one we're talking about in 1985.
Yeah, but what element was dealing with?
Just lowering the rate.
Just lowering the
we
rate.
We weren't talking about 20% or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
And again, I'm just talking about the cosmetic thing. It's printed in the book, tax rates, you know.
Right.
And I mean, these nationally published things, and I just wanted to get the rate down from the top where it was.
Well, their plan would peg future budget increases on the growth of in personal income, unlike your plan, which allows for limited elections to set new tax bases.
Okay, but you know, just to argue the point for a moment. I told you nobody's man is perfect.
Right.
And so I say, okay, this is a good plan. You know, this plan, even this one, was not perfect for me,
mm-hmm.
but I said, I'm not going to get my plan. You have to work within what you think is, I obviously didn't lose my principles, but work within a parameter that's okay, I'll go for that.
What would you have wanted? If
no,
you?
I can't remember now when you start working details.
Yeah.
But when you finally get down to whether boxcars are going to be eliminated or not, and things like that. But, you know, you mold it. So the OAA said, okay, we'll get behind this one. But they didn't, and though ours failed, and immediately after they came out with theirs, I said they're wasting their money. I mean, I could tell they were wasting their money, and they did. They went out and went boom, bang, down it went.
Yeah.
And I could have told them all that before you. I don't even know why they certainly could have seen it just as easily as I did. That was a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of really understanding that they're going to follow with their own and it's going to fail, get behind this one. No, we'll do it.
Did they want you to drop yours and get behind their program?
I'm not sure they ever really tried to do that, but I was going to do it anyway. I wasn't interested in OEA. I don't mean it that way. I have great respect for teachers. I think we have wonderful education in Oregon. I really do. I lament about the future, but our ballot five. All that sort of thing. And as I told you before, I should say leadership. I shouldn't say OAA. There's a lot of members of the Oregon Education Association that probably would agree with me. So I have to talk about the leadership.
Mm-hmm. Well, the OEA denounced the funding program tied to the Governor's Basic Education Act because it removes control from local communities and places it in the hands of the state and calls for statewide testing, which they refer to as one of the most destructive elements of the bill. They said you are putting every student on the same track, and you said you would not support the sales tax unless the basic education measure also passed.
That's right. What's happened in education generally,
mm-hmm.
is that education is geared for the average. And actually geared probably below the average. And when we start talking about testing students, you have to understand what's happening when you test students. When you test students, you're really testing the teacher. Mm. And that's what OAA didn't like. It wasn't testing the students, was testing the teachers.
Mm.
Because if a student doesn't learn, now that's not quite true, I have to take a class of students doesn't learn, then clearly it can't be the fault of the whole class. There has to be some other reason. And what's the only other possible reason? It's a teacher.
Mm. But they never put it that way.
No.
Yeah. It also requires that students spend 95% of their instruction time on basic education subjects. Many complained that that was too specific.
Yep, but you see, there's another theory I have. If I go to the store and I want to buy something, I expect, if I can lay down a dollar, I expect the value. Why shouldn't I do the same in education? I'm paying for somebody's education. I expect them to be educated. And I wasn't getting my money's worth. I say, me, I'm not taking it personal. That's the way I view the whole thing. And as a matter of fact, I view that way in terms of Congress and the presidency and the budget deficits. I wouldn't spend my money that way. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't spend your money that way, but they're spending their money that way. And so I'm not getting my dollar's worth. And so that's what I feel. I feel very close to the taxpayer, being one myself, we all are. But I'm saying, now wait a minute. I bought a certain quality of education, but I'm not getting it. And so that's what we're trying to do, is say, you know, at least someone should be literate. Because mm-hmm. they're going to go out into the world, and they're going to be part of this society in which I live. They're going to be in school all their life. And how are they going to function?
Who are you drawing upon for your advice in putting together this program?
Mostly 20 years on our tax committee.
But what about your education proposals?
Same thing. I was on the education committee. I was chair of the education committee that came up with definition of basic education. Mm-hmm. Got a great concern about education. I would still say, I want to make sure it's emphasized in whatever my history is, that Oregon does have good education. I just want it better, and I know mm-hmm. it can be better. Mm-hmm. I know it can be better. And so I'm not saying it's lousy. We don't have Tennessee the southern states are always known as having pretty bad education. We're not like that. You know, and so why are we complaining? Well, it's just we want it better. We want good. We want the best. Mm-hmm. And we're not getting the best. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's where I'm coming from. Not that we had a lousy educational system. I just wanted it better, and I knew it could be better.
Going back to the thing about the tax, limiting the tax base, here I have that the OEA eventually rejected the measure because of limits of 3% instead of 6%, that tax base can be raised without voter approval.
Yeah, I knew it was lower than 6, and actually that's lower than I wanted it to be, but that's where I got pressed. And okay, I want some increase.
Who pressed you?
Oh gosh, it was different groups. They wanted, they wanted it lower.
Uh-huh.
And there's some didn't want any. Huh. So 3% wasn't bad, it wasn't enough, but it was at least enough.
The Oregonian was generally positive about your plan, but they had some questions about it. And they said that the ATIA plan does not provide any sales tax revenues for income tax relief, which were the fifth highest in the nation. Such plan more popular it could be returned, money could be returned to the taxpayers, income tax relief. But we've already talked about that a little bit. And
just remember what I said, there's no perfect plan.
And also that community colleges would be given independent status with the formation of their own statewide board.
Yeah,
I imagine that the OEA fought that as well, didn't they?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that didn't like that. I thought it was a pretty good idea.
Uh-huh. Well, you've always been a supporter of higher education.
Higher education, yes. Education generally.
And they wondered how the equalization formulas would be computed and education service districts in the ONC counties school districts be treated to assure fair distribution of sales tax revenues.
Well, now you're really getting into it because you begin to understand the complexity of trying to put together a plan. Mm-hmm. ONC only involved a few counties. And relatively few counties. And they were getting monies that other counties weren't getting. So how do you treat those counties versus another? Actually, the major impediment to almost any equalization plan, basic school support plan, and then, get this right, there was basic school support, there was that pot of money. Then over here was equalization. That's to make some adjustments in between school districts. It was a smaller amount. The big chunk went on a per student basis. And then the equalization took into account these OECs and a few other things that you have to deal with. It can become complicated. But the major impediment to any significant change always was Portland School District, because it was unlike any other school district. And so whatever you tried to make some changes among all the other school districts, it would have a negative effect on Portland School District number one. And I'm telling you about how many times I've gone through these different formulas. And I did mention, but it would be worth repeating, because I've seen run after run, they go back to computers, you know, and they would say, okay, if you do this, this is what comes out. And we'd get pretty philosophical. We'd think about, we could do it this way and this way, and spend a lot of time on it. And then they'd run the computer. What's the first thing you do? I represent Washington County. I turned the page to Washington County Beaver School District. If it didn't hurt them, that was okay. If it hurt them, it wasn't, but, you know, that's the way you got provincial at that point.
Uh-huh.
As I said before, you can't have a change to retain the status quo.
Well, people also wondered about things like renter relief and sales tax exemption and sales tax rebates for low-income wage earners. And
there you go.
They're just all these different elements that you're trying to juggle around.
There's a lot of ways in which people could say, I didn't like it.
Well, Foster Church had an interesting comment. He said, Governor Vicatia, confounding critics who say he is too passive, has assumed an aggressive role fashioning a consensus for a sales tax package. The new stance reverses years of quiet, unassertive behavior during which he appeared distant from the hurly-burly of legislative politics and his public image shrank. Well, I think basically he's sort of rephrasing what you were saying earlier, wasn't he, about you basically staying away from the sales tax issues.
This is another interesting observation. That's external.
And
I would disagree with him as to my external image. Let's go internal. I remember my staff saying to me, Governor, you're stubborn. And so the difference was that I knew where I wanted to go, I knew what I wanted to do. And we moved in that direction. And that old saying, I think I mentioned to you before, I may walk slowly, but I never walk backward. and so that was all internal. I wasn't trying to put on a big show. I was saying, I just want to get results. Now, and then we get back to what's leadership and what's charisma, what isn't charisma, and what's a leader, what's the responsibility of a leader, and all of that kind of conversation. Mixes into what Foster. Foster's a very, I like Foster very much. He's an amazing guy. If you've ever been interviewed by Foster Church, he's got this book in front of him, and he's looking at you, and he's asking you questions. And as you're answering, he's writing it. He's looking at you, but he's writing what you're saying. And he's a brilliant guy. But all of what you're saying here is really kind of interesting, because everybody's got an opinion. It's as they see it. And his was, I was passive. I wasn't passive by my choice. I wasn't passive at all. I wanted to get economic diversity in the state of Oregon. We got it. I wanted to move higher education up to a different level. We got it. There were things that I wanted to achieve that we achieved, but we didn't do it in a flamboyant way. We just went ahead and achieved it. I wanted to reform welfare, and we did. We did it without hurting people. So, you know, these are things that we wanted to do without trumpets, sparkly outfits. That to me is not a way of doing it. All I wanted was to get from here to there. I would say to you that it's very fair to say that major disappointment was that we weren't able to restructure our taxes and avoid a ballot measure 5. We didn't do it.
Well, Ray Phillips even considered your... This is an interview with Governor Victor Atiyah at his office, Atiyah International in downtown Portland, Oregon. The interviewer for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen. And